Hello, my fellow seekers. Suddenly Seeking Spirit is a podcast that is intended to educate, inspire, and entertain you on your personal journey toward health and happiness. The information, advice, and opinions expressed are of our own and not intended to replace care best provided by qualified professionals, and it is not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Suddenly Seeking Spirit podcast. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Andrea. And today we're talking about astral projection and the subtle bodies. So I got a little, definition of astral projection. So I'll share what I got. I got it from healthline.com.
Okay.
And basically, it is the intentional effort to send consciousness from the body toward the spiritual plane or spiritual dimension.
Yep.
How's that for a definition?
Yeah, that's a pretty cool definition of it too.
Yeah. Helpline.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it feels like you're floating outside the body. You have an altered perception of the world. And the sense of what is happening is very real. That's the sense. Mm-hmm. So you believe it's real. And then we could get into a whole philosophical thing about reality, but we're not going to
what
say.
Is reality? Yeah.
What is it? Yeah, that's another episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you find, my friend?
So I would like to just start with, like, we'll discuss here the subtle bodies. And what I'm pulling this from is because we have the physical body, we have our astral body, and we have the casual body. So I will just go briefly real quick into these. And this is coming from, this information that I'm getting is coming from the yoga book by Stephen Sturgis. This is like filled with everything, you know, yoga, but it begins with the teachings of the subtle bodies and the chakra system and how this all plays out. So beginning with the physical body is obviously it's us, or it's the skin, the human form, all of that good stuff. A little excerpt from here is this is the physical sheath of the body, which is subject to birth, growth, disease, decay, and death. It is called the food sheath. So there's like sheaths within these bodies as well, right?
Okay.
And so it's called the food sheath because of its dependence on prana, which prana is energy in yoga, prana in the form of food, water, and air. And prana is like our vital life force and stuff that we need.
Okay.
So then the astral body is composed of the five subtle elements. So this is ether, this is air, this is fire, water, and earth. So those produce the five gross elements on the physical plane as well. That's why this is this part of the astral body, because the astral body is divided into three sheaths, which then that gets into like koshas and that stuff, but we won't get into that.
Right.
So the astral body, you can also think of the astral body is your soul, that inner light within you, and how that works. That also kind of goes with like our other episode of Kundalini Awakening and stuff like that too.
Okay.
The casual body now, this is called the bliss sheath. It's the subtlest and innermost of the three bodies that reflects the blissfulness of the soul. It is the cause of both the subtle and gross bodies. So it says, in dreamless sleep, the mind recedes from the physical waking state and the astral dream state to the casual body. It enters a subtle state and profound dreamless sleep in which the functions of the mind and the sense organs are suspended. In this blissful, restful state, there is no sense of ego and no thoughts. That's also, so that's the main point that I always get from the casual body is there in this restful state, this is bliss because the ego is not there operating anymore. And it just makes everything, it's casual. It's very easy.
Okay.
So those are the three bodies there. Now with astral projection, it in the astral body, if we are taking the astral body out of the physical body, then that is basically your soul leaving the physical body to go do whatever you want. And in terms of astral projection, this typically happens a lot for people in a dreamlike state or right before they fall asleep. A lot of people have stories about that. One real quick story that I personally had, because once again, you know, listeners of this podcast that listen to the other episodes, you know, we kind of pull, me and Andrea pull ourselves back whenever things get a little weird in this woo-woo stuff, and we don't know what it is, because we're kind of control freaks, right?
Which makes this whole thing fun, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, we're stepping outside our comfort zone by doing this podcast, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I distinctly remember this was 2014, and I was going through a lot just in my life. There was a lot of cleansing. I felt like it was a purge of my life, certainly, you know, people and things and stuff. And so it was always like day to day, I was just always feeling very emotional. And I did feel like I just wasn't, but I didn't feel like I was connected within myself anymore. Okay. So I remember laying down for bed. I was just drained. I was, you know, super busy that day, physically and emotionally tired. And I was starting like the little bit of like where, you know, you're so tired, you start nodding off a little bit and you're, you know, you can't control it. So I started to feel that. And I, all of a sudden, I just remember I was awake and then I was asleep is what I originally thought. And I thought I was starting a dream for a second. Okay. Well, the only difference between this and like a regular dream I would have or a lucid dream was this was the only time that I felt, you know, just a little jolt. And then I just turned around real quick and there I am laying. And then, but I can't see, like, I don't see, like, I'm looking down, there's nothing there. It's just like my consciousness to me. So then I was like my natural thing I would usually do when I'd get out of bed is I would go, you know, to my door, open my door. So I slowly walk and I just knew I was like, I thought, well, am I dreaming? And I was like, no, because I feel like I'm, like, this is reality to me. So then I go to touch the door handle to open the door, and immediately I wake up and I, like, shoot up.
Weird.
So, yeah. So I don't know if that was an astral projection thing or if it was, like, a dream state. But like I said, it did feel different than any dream state I've ever had.
And were you on any kind of drugs or anything?
No, I wasn't. Nope, I was completely sober too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so okay. That was like, and it freaked me out. And it's just not something that I, you know, intentionally will try to do. But yeah, but that, so then I was discussing with my friend just recently about, you know, what the topic was going to be today. And she told me that I could share a little bit of her story, which was pretty profound with her experience with astral projection. So she was saying she was in labor delivering her first child. And, you know, she's half out of it, you know, it's like, she deserves to be. She doesn't need to be fully aware during that process. But she said, so the baby, she had the umbilical cord was wrapped around her neck. So when they got her out through C-section, they pulled her out. She's all gray. She's non-responsive. She's not breathing. So they, you know, they immediately rush the baby over to start working on the baby. And my friend, she said she just remembers the nurse saying, I'm so sorry, honey. And then they put like the oxygen mask over her. And then she said she just remembered coming out of her body and like she was floating over the nurses and doctors, which had already moved the baby to a separate like area of the room. And she's hovering over them. She sees her body in the bed. She's hovering over the doctors and nurses, watching them do everything that they're trying to do to get this baby going. And she said that she remembered like going down and like touching, you know, her baby and saying something to the effect of like, come on, girl, breathe, just breathe. And she all of a sudden gasped for air, the baby did, and she breathed, and then she was back in her body, like
that
she came out. So, yeah.
I can believe she, that because it's so powerful, that mother-child
exactly.
connection.
Yeah. So when she told me that, because I was like, I've always been a little bit just like, I don't know, you know, But when she told me that, I was like, well, that makes sense to me because of that connection, that spiritual soul connection, something that powerful could, you know, I could see how it would pull that astral body out of you, and especially in a moment of like extreme need. But she said, yeah, she was able to confirm that it actually did happen because she was telling the doctors and nurses after the whole experience, you know, what she was going through. And she remembered them like pinching the baby to like get her to respond. And they were like, yeah, we did do all these things that you're saying. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Wow. That is crazy. So that's very cool. So we've had two, stories about it.
Yeah.
Now we're going to do something unprecedented on Seeking Spirit. One of our viewers on Instagram, because we record this live on Instagram, wants to come on and tell us about their astral projection story.
Yes.
So let's see if as I throw my phone around.
Yeah. In the universe with your filter.
So this is Wade. While we're waiting, I was going to say, as I was reading about out of body versus astral, I know we weren't going to talk about this, but the difference that I got was that astral projection was intentional, whereas out of body was just sort of, it happened. Hi, okay. Wade. Welcome
Hi, Wade.
To
hey,
Suddenly Seeking Spirit.
Oh, you got a pup back there.
Yeah, duh.
So let's hear about your astral projection experience. We're excited.
Well, there has been a few of them, but the one that I was speaking of earlier happened about 2 weeks ago, and when I put the astral projection music on before I went to sleep, or I did my meditation, and then I sort of zoned out, and then I fell asleep, and I were sort of half and half, and in the astral projection, my soul rose up out of me, and I ended up at the beach, which I live right down the road from the beach, and it was daytime out, and I had like very, very vivid dreams where when I wake up, I can't really tell the difference between real life and the dream world. So in the astral projection, when I got there, I was like, well, I am definitely awake right now, but I knew that I was in the dream state in the astral projection world, and there was probably about like 15 or 20 orbs that came out of nowhere that started hovering around right above me. And
wow.
I was like, well, this is pretty wild right here. So all these orbs were just, I don't know, for about like maybe like 20 seconds, they just were hovering over my head. And then next thing you know, they all shot up in the sky, and the whole sky opened up to about like, and I mean, to me, it seemed about like a mile wide. And I could see clear as day where everyone was living up in the sky. Like, and I was pretty much like, the outer beings and just the spiritual world were opening up to me, and they're like, we are right here, this is where we live, and we're with you, we're connected with you, and you are one with everything, just like we all are one with everything, and we're all connected. And so when their world opened up to me, like I literally saw in the sky a whole new universe, like and then all the orbs, when the orbs shot up into the into their home, and then where the sky opened up, and then they went home, and then it closed back up, and then I pretty much came back to, and I was like, well, that was a pretty cool sign right there, and
I'm
definitely here with me, and there's been a whole bunch of like weird stuff like that, but more so and I've actually experienced like orbs in real life at nighttime, for instance, in High Point, North Carolina, about like 2 years ago, I was outside, and it was probably like 10 o'clock at night. And I was about like 20, 30 yards from the tree line, and out of nowhere, there was a huge blue orb that started hovering the top of the trees. And I was like, well, this is freaking trippy. And next thing you know, the orb shot down, and it started hovering the ground about 5 feet, and then it straight, and then it just disappeared. And it sort of like scared me a little bit. So I got up and went back inside. But I mean, the orb, like, it was bright blue. I mean, it was like it, nobody else was around, so like no one else could witness it, but I knew for a fact that I wasn't on any hallucinogenics or anything. So
that's what I was gonna ask you. Apparently Archangel Michael shows up as a blue orb. That's what I hear.
I'm sure that was him then, so.
Yeah.
That was wild. And then and actually around that same time, because I was when I was 15 years old, I started, my feet started swelling up with MRSA for no reason. And then I started getting like bulges in my hips, and then my legs felt like someone had a blowtorch in them for years. And, the doctors couldn't figure out what it was for 10 years. So, but this place I went to a Christian rehab after being on medication, because the doctor started putting me on opiates when I was like 15 mm-hmm. years old until 26. So I ended up going to a rehab, and but I was praying, and then I was in a deep state of meditation, also, you know, praying as well, you know, through the meditation. And at the time, you know, with being in so much pain for the majority amount of my life, I literally sold my soul to the devil. I was like, I would do anything to get out of this pain and agony. And the devil, and he gave me, you know, he took away the pain through medication, which after years and years, I was so sick, and like I was sick of being sick, you know, sick and tired of being mm-hmm. sick and tired. Mm-hmm. When I went to this rehab, I was meditating and praying I was in a deep meditation, like, you know, just like almost the astral projection world, where I was like, you know, my the delta and the, you know, the alpha. I was in a, you know, whole different brain wave, and I asked God to give my soul back, so I saw myself rise out of my body, and then I literally went up to heaven, and I saw a huge white light, and God reached his hand down into hell and grabbed my soul and put it back in my body. And that's when I opened my eyes up, and I felt like I was actually whole again. I felt like I got my life back. I was like my life is he gave me my soul back, because like for years I felt like I felt empty inside.
Wow.
And when that happened, like and ever since then, it's been about since 2014 that I've just been practicing, you know, mindfulness and meditation, and learning about psychology and epigenetics mm-hmm. and spiritual science and physics and quantum physics, and pretty much anything that can help me better my own life, where I can help better other lives, you know.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of cool stuff out there, and but this world is definitely energy. Like everything in this world is energy, and try to, you know, project good energy. That way, people can you know, see that there's always light at the end of the tunnel, even though when we're in a bad place, there's always you know, good that overbeats, you know, the bad. So.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, that
cool things.
That. yeah, talk about some experiences. I mean, geez. Now, whenever the one where you, with the opening and seeing, you know, like these guides and stuff, what did you, do you recall, like, was there a strong emotional pull? Like, how were your senses in that moment? Was there like a lot of emotions? In that moment, were you able to kind of like feel, could you smell, like, the scenery? Was it very, you know, was it there for you?
Yeah, pretty much what I can remember is that just like the air, you know, the air was mm-hmm. very, very clean, and I could breathe very, very good, and like, and I felt like a very high, like, sense of energy, like in my body, like, and so like when that happened, like overwhelming, like joy, like it was I mm-hmm. felt like very happy, they were here for me, and they were showing me that, like, I'm here for you and everybody in this world, and that this is a temporary home, and, you know, when our souls, you know, leave this vessel, like, we're gonna go back to our main home, which is out there in the field, you mm-hmm. know. And I'm just like, when you're meditating, you know, you can go to different you know, places when you meditate, like you can shift your brain and be in a totally different world, and that's what they were showing me, that there is a whole another world that's just as good, you know, or even better, but we can make this world, you know, heaven on earth, you know. And that's mm-hmm. what that kind of showed me, that heaven is not just up there, you know, it's not just in the different places, that our souls are part of heaven, and if we can accept that, then we can bring heaven to this earth again. That's the way that God wants it, you know. He brought us mm-hmm. to this earth to bring love and to show peace and happiness, and try to, you know, help people like raise their frequency and have a high frequencies, because so many people are on very low frequencies, and mm-hmm. You know, and cleaning and healing all the chakras and eating the proper food, because I know a lot of mm-hmm. I call them like chakra blockers. There's so much chakra blockers out there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They were letting me know that they were here for us. So
that's amazing. So what do you do for a living, Wade? Do you help people with this kind of stuff?
Well, I'm working on it. Well, I do help people with this stuff, but not for a living, more so just for my own sense of pleasure. But I would love to do it for a profession. But I own a painting business, so I'm painting houses and I do other stuff. But just try to help people like enhance their homes so they can sell their property and get money out. So I try to bring value to them that way. But I would love to get into the doctor field with more so like the spiritual doctor, spiritual science field of all things. But there's a lot to do out there, so I'm definitely trying to figure out exactly what I'm supposed to do in this world. And that's where people like you help me realize that I can do it, because you guys inspire people, and I appreciate you guys very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can definitely
love it.
Yes. Yeah. And I can definitely see you doing very well in whatever you would choose to do within, spirituality, metaphysical, and helping people. But you would definitely do great. And that's exciting for you too. There's so much information out there too on all these different things, and that's what makes it fun, is being able to sift through and what really experiences that you've personally had and how those actually work out in your day to day life too. So that's awesome.
You know what I noticed, guys? Andrew's story was from 2014, and Wade's was as well. And that's also when I call it my midlife crisis, because I'm very practical. But it's the same year. Yeah.
Wow.
That's interesting. We should look that up and what was going on.
Somebody turned on the light.
Yeah.
2014 is that's my birthday, so when I was 2014 is definitely going to be a wild year, because February 14th is my birthday, so I knew that 2014 would be a whole different ball game. So it was life changer.
Interesting. That's one of the numbers I see all the time, and I always take it as a wake up, Andrea, when I see that number.
Because
I'm usually in a negative headspace, and then I see that number, and I'm like, oh yeah, right. shift the consciousness. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Very cool. Well, I'm so happy that you jumped on here with us. That was fun.
Really cool experiences to hear about too.
Very cool. Our higher power's with us today, Andrew, because Andrew and I were like, we don't have that much to talk about on this.
Yeah.
Because we don't have as much experience. Like, some topics we know a lot more about. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for joining us and adding to our podcast topic.
Yes.
That was fun.
Yes.
And any of you guys watching or listening, feel free to, now I can't remember, was it slide us a DM, Andrew?
Yeah, slide into our DMs. Is that what the kids say?
Yeah. And you can share your experiences if there are any topics you want us to cover, or you have experience, and we could look at bringing you on as well.
Yeah.
Why not?
Absolutely. Yes.
See how we go. Yes. Do you have anything else to add, Andrew?
I would just like to touch upon what he was saying. He was listening to the astral projection music, and that is something that I know my brother has done a lot. Like, he'll go on YouTube, and there's specific music that are, set at these frequencies that are supposed to help you, do astral projection more. And a lot of people like to practice it a lot, and they kind of hone it in as a very cool skill to do. A little scary for me, so I will not be doing that. But there's music out there for anybody that is wanting, to do that. But then also too, I do highly recommend that you research a good bit about it before doing it, because we are talking about your soul leaving your body.
And there are other things out there. There's a lot. What I find interesting about these topics, Andrew Cole, is whenever I think, oh, it's just a little light topic, let's do this one, this will be fun, and then I start looking into it, I'm like, there's a lot of really strong opinions about this little topic. It's not so little, right?
Exactly.
So there are lots of different things if you start looking into it, and there's courses you can take and all kinds of stuff. So it's use your discretion. in looking into things and follow your intuition, your guidance.
Yeah. It's finding that information and what information specifically makes you feel good and that you connect to is the key to all of it.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I have today.
It's like, we're tapped out.
We are. I'm tired now. Oh, somebody's like asking to join. Nat Foster's asking to join us. This will be fun. Look at us bringing people on randomly. Oh!
Hi!
Hi, Nat.
Thanks for giving me a shot.
Hi. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Really funny. I have my kid is sleeping at my mother-in-law's last night, so I had like time to just sleep in and lay around in bed, and I felt really drawn to Instagram and look at it, and there is your live going up, and I don't know what called me to it, but just felt really, really called to share. So I saw the last guy on there.
That's awesome. And we've never done this before. We usually just record our podcast and then we get off. So this is very exciting.
Yeah.
Really interesting. Yeah. I have had a lot of experiences with astral projection. I think like even, I think that's what you guys have been talking about.
Yeah.
I
just
got on like 3 minutes ago, but ever since I was a kid, like, you know, I'd have like accidental experiences, you know, waking up with my nose bumping the ceiling and that kind of thing, just like really confused about whether or not I could fly in real life and that kind of stuff for like several years as a young kid. And it's interesting because I tried to like get into it when I was in grad school, actually, to become a therapist. And so I would like go home, and I think I tried it only just a few times, but it worked pretty easily for me using binaural beats.
Okay.
And I would go home and like put on the binaural beats in the middle of the day and just take a nap, and it's pretty easy to get to that state being in grad school. I put on the binaural beats and just kind of let my mind go stay awake while my body went to sleep. And so, you know, visualizing things like someone online had said, visualize you're playing a game of pool and you're just hitting the pool balls in pocket by pocket and just feel your body go to sleep. And I think I tried it the first time, but I was too like, you know, my expectations were too high and got in the way, and it didn't work. And the second time, I had a really powerful experience where, just in general felt like this intense buzzing all over, and it just kind of increased and increased and increased. And then it was just this pop noise.
Whoa.
And while the buzzing was increasing, the sounds that were accompanying it was, really odd too. It was like the sounds, like I left my TV on in the apartment, but I hadn't, and it was like the sounds of chaos, like ambulances and dogs barking. I could hear people arguing and just like really frenetic, like intense chaos noises, like just sounded like, what the hell is going on here, you know? And then when the pop happened, I was able to sit up, but it was like whoosh, really fast, you know, like you're not in your body, so your movement's like shoo, 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 you know? And I think that scared me. So I like went straight back in, and then I tried again like a week later, because I was like, wow, that's like really real. And that wasn't that hard to like accomplish, you know. it was kind of crazy because I was living in a an apartment in LA in the Marina Del Rey Arts District. And the third time I tried, I had a sleep mask on. And when I got up, the sleep mask came with me, which was weird. And like I was trying to take it off, but I couldn't get it off. And so I could just see like just the barely, you know, just the line right here of the floor. And the floor, I walked around in my apartment, and it was covered with like cigarette butts and beer bottles, which I don't smoke and I don't drink beer that much. So it was like really weird.
Yeah.
And I'd confirmed later with the leasing office that the guy that lived there before me, actually, like they had a lot of trouble with him and kind of had to, you know, not evict him, but like they were really glad when he was leaving, because he had parties all the time and he would smoke in the apartment and stuff like that. So but yeah, just really interesting. So even the rugs, my rugs were in the room, but there were other people's rugs that were kind of like interlaid with mine. So it was really just a crazy experience. I mean, I've never had anything like that specific, but it made me curious to know more. And, you know, I'll just say, like, I know you're saying people have strong opinions about this stuff, and that it's always come really naturally to me, but I will say that it's more when I'm not in like a healthy mindset that it is more natural to me. And you know,
interesting.
I just, high school friends of mine going on. I didn't know they'd be able
I'm
to
waving
just,
at them.
Not my therapist account. This is my personal profile. I just happened to be on. This is funny.
Oh, that's funny.
Hi guys, I haven't seen you in like 15 years.
She's about to be on a podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think for me the interesting thing was you know, to note that like what was healthy for me was to get down into my body. And you know, I'd gone to Peru to try ayahuasca with my mom, like within 6 months of that experience, maybe even sooner, and had like a really powerful, but also like a kick in the ass, you know, not fun spiritual dark night of the soul. It changed my life. Mm. You know, I ended up getting married to my now husband because of it. So I'm grateful it happened. But, you know, in the end, it was probably not the healthiest choices I could have been making as far as like getting out of the body. And, you know, through a long roundabout turn of events, I'd gone through a pretty powerful spiritual healing and found out from the healer that assisted me in that process that doing the forced astral projection actually like created problems for me energetically. Mm. I didn't know what I was doing, you know, and I was
right.
Self vulnerable to other issues to occur. Cause, you know, there are things in the spiritual realm that can impact the mind and body. And so that's kind of what I, you know, I had like a huge learning experience in 2012 and then went on to open my private practice as I became a therapist and learned how to work with people on the spiritual level and learned that you can have all these gifts, but if you're not using them with the right intention or the right parameters, or, you know, if you're kind of going unconscious with it or just like pushing it like any other thing, you can misuse your gifts, mm-hmm. you know, and leave yourself open to complications and problems. Cause there's a lot of shit out there. It's like, going downtown, you're going to encounter good, bad, and neutral people, yes. You know, and mm-hmm. some of those people want to harm you and some of them want to help you. And it's the same out there in energy, you know, so mm-hmm. Really experiencing that kind of turnaround where I had to learn how to get grounded in my body. And I think you can absolutely experience astral projection, but in a healthy way. But again, it's like anything else. It's like meditation. It's even binaural beats. If you're using them when you're not in a good frame of mind or when you're not really conscious of how you're setting your space and what you're doing with your powerful ass consciousness, because that's what it is. Mm. Like our consciousness is extremely powerful and can achieve all these things beyond our wildest dreams, including, you know, spontaneous healings and amazing things, but it's also capable of, you know, and there's lots of metal with out there. So that was my final experience with astral projection.
Yeah.
During that phase, I was trying to achieve it again. And this time I was like, I'm not wearing a sleep mask, you know? So, so I had tried one last time before that eventual trip to Peru and everything changed my mind about being out of my body. But, and when I finally got up, it was like something was pushing me back down and I was up, down, up, down. And it was really fast
very
intense. And then finally I got up and I sat completely up and there was a 8.5, 10 foot. I don't know how tall my ceilings were there, but it was almost touching the ceiling. Grim Reaper standing next to my bed. And I'm like,
oh my goodness.
So that scared me back in. And I heard later that was actually like an illusion that my guides were trying to use to like, get her to stay in her body. Okay.
Yeah.
Tall ass Reaper, and she won't want to go anywhere after that. You know.
Yeah.
Not good for me. But I was just being so stubborn and, you know, like hard headed about it. So, really interesting. And I've had a lot of, you know, experiences since then. Not intentional, but you know, again, it's like if I'm really sick or I've had an argument or I'm extremely tired or run down. Or if I'm aware, you know, because I'm aware of spirits at this point in my development. And, you know, if there's something around that is trying to get attention or something along those lines, sometimes I experience it in that way too. So it's just something to be careful
with. Interesting.
Mm.
For sure.
Yeah, that's why we have a disclaimer on our podcast. Yes.
Absolutely.
For sure. Wow, that was amazing. All your stories and things, though. Do you think that it became almost like addictive for you in the beginning to like
do it
again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it only lasted like those four times and then I must have wised up or whatever. But, you know, I think that used to be the way, because I'd lost, for those high school friends that are still watching, I'd lost a friend in 2008 while I was present. It was a very like intense experience for me emotionally, but also challenged me on these other levels where, you know, I wanted to know what spirituality was all about. I wanted to know more about, you know, all kinds of things. And because she was very present after the initial passing. And I think that kind of led me on like a, being a Scorpio too, I'm like curious about the underside of things and what's hidden meaning. And, you know, so it led me on like this journey of trying to discover spirituality, but I was really just discovering metaphysics, if that makes sense. Like there was no aspect of faith. There was no aspect of like trust and, you know, using the guiding principles of the universe to kind of ground my life and direct my intentions. There was none of that. It was just like, holy shit, you can get out of your body, and holy shit, like, spiritual, holy shit, I'm kind of psychic, and, you know, all this stuff, like, so I think that was more what it was coming from, like, this intense curiosity, which I think can be a good integral step in the journey, but, you know, again, I got put on my butt for, like, an entire year because of this curiosity, so there's better ways,
wow,
it's something to be aware of that, you know, everyone has their own path, and just finding what works for you and what really is the healthiest thing at any given time can be confusing, especially as a young person.
Yes.
And
that's why we always talk about the power of intention. Like, what is my intention behind trying to do this today? You know,
Definitely
if it's that, for,
in sacred space. I can't say enough for sacred space. That is something that I had no idea, like our intentions guiding and grounding all of that. And if we don't really, you know, it's, everything leaves holes in our auric field, like traumas and relationships that aren't super healthy. There can be cords coming in and out. And now knowing what I do, it's just a lot more important to just take care of yourself than do anything explorative. Yes.
Are you a spirit, like, what is your work? You're a therapist?
I have a marriage and family therapist license, and that's kind of the button on my shirt that I've used in the last 10 years or so. But I'd say I came to the field initially because I love art therapy, so that's really what I do, like, more internally is art therapy. And then, as you know, I was in grad school when I had this spiritual experience. So I healed from Lyme disease like overnight, and had, you know, I heard beings talking to me and healing my heart, and just had this profound experience. So I went on to use that as part of my healing work with other people, that those kinds of interventions. And so I have like a very open informed consent policy where, you know, I'm a normal therapist. I've been trained as a therapist and an art therapist, but I also do Reiki and energy healing and coach people on how to do sacred space and how to, you know, use guiding principles of the universe and their intention, and, you know, just all the things. And then there's a little mediumship that was coming through inadvertently, and so I sort of tacked that on there too. And now I'm a mom.
Yeah, Andrew knows about that.
I've had an experience like that, but I'm also the type of person where I'll block things pretty quick if it's like spooks me. So I can do, like, when I see people and I'm around them, I'm more of a clairsentient, and I feel like I can feel the feelings very, very strongly if I allow myself to go there. Now, that actually shows me too that, like, when I was learning more and diving deeper into all things metaphysical, I was able to kind of learn how to protect myself. And I feel like that's what I misspeak when I say, you know, I'm shutting it down. I'm not shutting it down. I'm protecting myself with what I'm allowing to come through. And I'm very good now. I tune that. And, you know, I usually just, I can't have it happen all the time. I'll get nothing done at all, you know? So that's why I won't you know, keep going a little deeper. But whenever I was in Canada, this is when the mediumship kind of came through. I was doing just a regular energy reading with my Oracle deck that I had just come out with at that time. And there was a woman in the workshop, basically our little workshop we were doing. And I got to her, and I didn't see, but I felt the presence of a man behind her. And I was just everything come out, you know, and I was like, there's a man behind you. It's just like, all I can feel is the male presence and strong love surrounding you right now. And then she started crying, and she was discussing, you know, exactly who it is. It made sense to her that she, before she came to our little event, she like had a conversation with him and was just, you know, so he came through. So that was the confirmation she was looking for. Meanwhile, I had no clue what was going on and what was coming out, you know.
But everybody was crying.
Yeah. Everybody was crying at that point. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's
really dear.
And then did you spend time developing it after that, or was it something that you just kind of let be?
Yeah, I kind of let that be, just because it's like I'm more comfortable with working with energy than I am with the departed. And that also just ties into my own personal things with that, you know, so but if moments will happen, if I'm sure it will happen again at some point in my life, like when I feel called to do that or have somebody speak through me, I will allow it, you know, it's just that moment thing. But I definitely don't call myself a medium because I don't want to welcome it 24/7.
Yeah. I'm kind of on the same page. Like the energy feels really natural and like worked hundreds if not a thousand hours of doing that with clients, but then the mediumship stuff, so this is a helpful conversation for me actually, because I've been like, should I develop this? Like, this keeps happening a little bit here and there, but you know, again, you don't have to use all the gifts. You just have to figure out what's the healthy one for us, and
exactly. And just, you know, having your strong protection, which does fall back into what you were saying, like the sacred space is very vital. So it's like, that is your protective zone as well. That's where you can develop these things in that sacred space. And you protect yourself while after you leave the sacred space too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very cool. Well, it was nice meeting you both.
Yeah, nice meeting you too.
It's great meeting you.
We're here every Sunday.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Same time, same place.
I'll check you guys out again. Thank you.
All right, awesome.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Bye. This is great. I just love that.
I know, that was amazing.
Getting to listen to more of these experiences that people are having too, and they're having more than one of these, is pretty amazing to hear. And it's kind of, you know, changing my views a little bit about it as well.
Yeah, and it's amazing how we had guests come on to fill my blank pages today.
Yeah.
I prayed beforehand. I'm like, please just, you know, come through. Yeah. And that's what happened. So our higher power is with us, no matter what
always
your higher
providing
power is for you. Yeah. Yeah. Always providing. So there you have it, guys. Well, thank you for our special guests that came on.
Yes.
It was really awesome. And thank you, Andrew, for joining us from your boat. I'm so
from
jealous.
The boat.
Yeah. The boat.
What a boot.
Are you making fun of my Canadian accent again?
I'm cherishing it and I love it.
Thank you. That's nice. All right. Well, are you with me next week or is it Betty? We have to tell her. We haven't told her.
I believe I'm not. Yeah. I believe I'll be in West Virginia though. Yeah. We need to get on that. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't told her. So
we got to get Betty back.
Yeah, Betty will be with me next week talking about something. So be sure to join us next week. Maybe you can come back and add on to our conversation, whatever it is. So there you have it. And don't forget to check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Bye, Andrew.
Bye.
Till next time, what has you seeking spirit?